Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We're here, new studio in the basement. This is a whole new beginning. You know, we did a lot of podcasts in this studio, and back then there was like maybe four of these foam things on the wall that served no purpose. Our production was simply intoxicated comedians, and we've really raised the bar here. So we're excited to be in our new studio. You know, first episode 7, I believe, of Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers.
Lucky number 7.
Yeah, it's the 7th version that we actually recorded, minus the 4 that we did at the beginning that we did not record correctly.
It turned
out to just be actual conversations with strangers, which makes it all that much weirder now that it's not for a podcast. But welcome. Our first guest today is Eddie Torres. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it. Now, I'm going to ask everyone at the beginning of this, is this true, the information you sent to be on the podcast, or is it just like a let's hook them so that they pick me?
Right, yeah. I just want a spot at the main room. No, it's all true.
Because we did have one person who wrote some crazy shit. I think it was like maybe 4 episodes ago. And up front, I'm like, is this true or did you lie? So it was interesting. He was like, I'm glad you asked because I just lied to be interesting. And I'm like, all right.
I mean, you know.
It was one of those things where I read it and I'm like, that's too good to be true.
Hollywood as it gets.
Yeah.
Right?
Lying to be on a podcast that had 3 episodes at that point. But, you know, people do what they got to do, I suppose. Well, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
From what I know about you from this little blurb, it's you were born into a crime family.
Yep.
You survived homelessness.
Yes.
Jail.
Yep.
And now you are, as well as a deadly car accident.
Correct.
Not deadly for you.
Yes. I died, technically.
You did?
Yeah, yeah, according to the paperwork.
Wow, this is getting exciting already. when I read that, I'm like, I don't know who died, but it's probably not him if he's here. But now
I'm
that
here.
It was you.
I think I'm here. I'm not sure.
So what kind of crime family are we talking about?
Oh, well, my grandfather, who is now deceased, so I can talk about this freely.
Nice.
he used to have a hand in a lot of different things in New Jersey,
okay.
But he was tied to a lot of the Italians and also the Filipino mafia, which I didn't know was a thing.
That's a thing?
That's a thing.
Filipino mafia. Running the hospitals around America.
They actually ran the perfume racket in New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not even a joke.
No, I mean, that's exciting, and at the same time, when I think of New Jersey, I think horrible smells.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they could work a little bit harder, Filipino mafia of Jersey.
Well,
why don't you up your game?
I think that the smells that are produced from creating nicer look smelling things, I think that's what you're smelling. It's the chemicals that they use.
Yeah, and it smells a lot like pee, from what I remember.
Well, so does L.A., for that matter.
Yeah, well, that's true. But ours is, you can actually witness the people urinating that you're smelling, which is a nice combo in a lot of ways.
Before moving here, my first vacation, the first thing I saw was a homeless guy jerking off on Hollywood, on the stars. You know?
Yeah. I've seen it myself. Whenever I had family members or like friends visiting, they'd be like, can I go check out the Hollywood stars? I'm like,
you don't want to.
Yeah, this is a terrible plan, but they want to go buy a, you know, $3 LA t-shirt that'll deteriorate in one wash.
6 or 7 refrigerator magnets so they can give their friends,
yep.
You know.
But yeah, there was just a dude, very Charles Manson looking, just full on jerking it with a giant smile on his face. Like,
I mean,
he's not focusing on anything. It's just like a taking in the...
It's all in here, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he does it from memory, which I think is smart.
Yeah.
I feel bad for guys who jerk off solely to pornography.
Yeah, because if you don't have anything...
Exactly. You fall into a cave, what, are you going to not jerk off while you're waiting to be...
Yeah.
A lot of people don't believe that is a solid reason to only jerk off from memory, but I'm going to put it out there. And so you live in LA now?
I do.
How long ago did you move here?
About 5 years.
Okay.
About 5 years now, I think.
What made
Close to 5 years.
What made you decide to move to LA?
My wife got a really good job offer working at a video game company. So I decided, you know, what I was doing, I could probably figure it out when I got here. So
right.
Which I did, kind of, you know. I was working in the beer industry out there, sitting in beer sales. Like, there's a ton of breweries out here. I can figure it out. So I did, immediately found a job in a brewery and, you know, made it work. But yeah, it was initially her, you know, dream job. So I was like, I'm not going to break up with her over, you know, something like this.
And you were what? You were living where, in Jersey?
I was in Miami at this time.
Oh, okay.
So going back to the crime family thing, I was in Jersey up until I was like 14 years old, 15. And then I moved to Miami, not, you know, by any choice. It was kind of like, hey, your dad just got arrested. We have to leave. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So we, you know, fled to Miami, where it's the Wild West and there's no laws.
Is that the way it is?
Yeah. There was no pandemic in Miami. Did you know that?
I did know that. I did hear all about how Florida is free of COVID.
Yeah.
Those bodies that are stacking up are from natural causes.
Cocaine.
Yeah. A lot of cocaine overdoses. Yeah, his cocaine addiction got so bad that his lungs stopped working. It's a strange reality of Florida. But
couldn't breathe or taste. Couldn't taste or smell anything. It's all, you know, cocaine. It does that to you.
That that guy who, Brian Laundry, or whatever his name is, the guy who murdered his girlfriend.
Oh, right.
He's somewhere in Florida, allegedly.
Sure.
I like to think that at least he's safe from COVID.
Yeah.
You know, say what you will about the guy for being a murderer or, you know, just being set up, obviously, by the government, which I think is something else Floridians would believe.
Yeah, of course. And Florida's an easy place to get rid of a body. You just take it to the Everglades. There's alligators there during mating season. They'll just get rid of it for you.
Man, that's so smart.
Yeah.
I don't even consider the alligators fucking, but...
Oh, dude.
You add that element to it.
It's quite the sight.
All right, so you go there because your father got arrested?
Correct, yeah.
What did dad do?
So dad was kind of involved in... My grandfather brought in my dad, but it wasn't... They're not... It's my mom's father.
Okay. So this is... You're marrying my...
My daughter. Let me bring you into the biz.
I should show you the ways of a criminal lifestyle.
Correct.
So you can take care of her. Yeah, that's a good dad right there.
Yeah, that's a good dad. No, you know, it's funny because he was a criminal, my grandfather, but it was always with good intentions, you know, like it was only to provide for the family because he was from Spain, you know, not from the country. He's like, I got to figure out a way to make money.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got involved with the people. Negocios is what they call it, just business. They're just making business happen. So
your dad's Spanish.
My dad's Cuban.
Cuban.
My grandfather is Spanish.
Oh, your grandfather. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a fun mix, Spanish and Cuban.
They fled Cuba to Spain when they, you know, when everybody was leaving Cuba with the crazy, you know, some people took a boat over to Florida.
Right.
Some people took, you know, boats to Spain. You know, my dad actually took a boat to Peru and then from Peru to Spain. So it was like a journey, but my parents met in Spain. Well, they met in Cuba, but then they reconnected out there in Spain. I was conceived in Spain.
Nice.
Yeah.
Technically, I think that makes you European.
I think so.
Adds an element of classiness that, you know, you're not going to get that jersey. There it is. Mm-hmm. Put that pinky up. and so now you live out here. What do you do?
I work at a company, a video game company as well,
okay.
Which I ended up, you know, switching from beer to that because the beer scene out here was kind of not at all what it was in Florida. It was a lot more cutthroat, and I just didn't like the vibe, so... And also, I like video games, so I was like, all right, this is a good move for me. Why not? And ended up working in a building across the street from my wife's building. Our schedules lined up. It was just meant to be.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I'm working in the video game industry, but I'm also, you know, I'm trying to pursue the actual career that I want, which is podcast producing. And I have my own podcast. I produce a couple of comedians' podcasts out here. Just recently started producing and co-hosting a pro wrestling podcast with Chris Burns. It used to be the Store Horseman here.
Oh yeah.
And then now it's Wrestle Fetish. So I'm helping
Wrestle Fetish.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Ex porn star Annie Cruz is one of the co-hosts. I think that's where the whole fetish thing comes in.
I'm such a loser. I don't know any porn stars by name.
I don't know what's worse, that or knowing all of them by name.
Well, that could be true. Let me ask you this. Has she ever been someone's stepsister before?
I'm sure. Yeah. I haven't seen her work.
All right.
I avoid
that would probably
seeing,
be weird.
Yeah, I avoided seeing her work, so I don't like, yeah.
Fair enough. All right. And so you're a wrestling fan? Is that...
Yeah, I wrestled in high school, and just, you know, when I was younger, I was a big fan of WWF, all their, you know, up to Stone Cold, all that stuff.
Yeah, that was when I got out, too.
Yeah, I took a break right there. And then recently, when I moved here to California, I discovered the local scene, which I didn't know was a thing, independent wrestling local scene. And it reminded me a lot of, like, young bands, like independent bands, and, you know, just the energy, the excitement. Everybody was hungry because, you know, they're trying to stand out or whatever.
Yeah, they gotta make their mark. Otherwise, they're just going to wrestle in gymnasiums forever.
Exactly. So it was exciting stuff, and I just got involved, and, like, it got me back into, like, all right, let me watch what WWE is doing, which I don't like. And now I just watch it every week because I had to keep up for the show.
Right. All right, so Store Horseman doesn't exist anymore.
It's on a hiatus because one of the main co-hosts, Tony Hinchcliffe, decided to flee along with all the other comedians.
Cowboy Tony
now, right?
It's interesting is that he got a new gimmick when he switched wrestling leagues. He went from the Golden Pony to Cowboy Tony,
heel. I mean, he was always sort of heelish, but now he's like full heel.
Yeah. He went the racist route, and then was like, "Well, I better start wearing a cowboy hat, otherwise
live the
this
gimmick,
isn't gonna...
man. You got to live the gimmick."
I someone sent me photos of him, and I was like, "That's hysterical!" And I thought it was like he dressed up for some event.
Nope.
And then someone said, "No, that's how he dresses now." I was like, "Wow,
he's
that's
playing
dedication.
Madison Square Garden like that now." So
did he? He did it full cowboy getup. Wow, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You'd think going to New York, he would have dressed like Dice Clay or something. I'd like to see him switch his outfit based on the region he is in at that moment. So, you know, he goes to Seattle, it's corduroys and heroin. Just needles hanging out.
Yeah, Miami, just, you know, no shirt, flip-flops, shorts. You know?
Even just an open floral shirt would be acceptable under those circumstances. Cocaine mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and so what do you do at a video game place?
So it's interesting. I talk to people that play the games and help them out with bullying, harassment, racism, misogyny, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, because when they play online...
They get harassed.
They're getting harassed.
Yeah.
How does one become a harasser? Is that a professional opportunity?
No.
I don't want to play video games. I'm not into video games. I would love to be able to get online and just... You know, obviously, I need to find out first that I'm talking to an adult. I'm not looking to bully children.
That's hard.
But if there's like a 35-year-old man, there's no reason why I couldn't just get on there and just let him know what a pussy he is. Try and ruin his life.
You should play
life.
Call of Duty. That's what they do. They talk.
That's
on,
it?
They have headsets and they talk and they just call each other pussies and whatnot and slurs, all kinds of slurs, all of the slurs.
All of them?
Together at once. It's all like... The homophobic one followed by the racist one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like back to back. Yeah, it's good.
That's cool, man. Yeah. It's nice to see people dedicated to their craft.
Yeah, and it's usually 12-year-olds, too. It's ridiculous. You see, you hear a little voice. I'm like playing, and you hear a little kid like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, what? Where's your mom?
Right. And so are you actually listening to the conversations going on, or how does that work?
No, it's all the one I...
reports it?
Yeah, well, some of the ones that I work on don't do voice chat. It's all text.
Oh, okay.
So I just read, and I'm like all day reading the worst possible shit you can possibly imagine.
So what's the punishment? You start dropping racial slurs on Call of Duty. What happens to you?
Well, with Call of Duty, they'll ban you and stuff. They'll just make you can't play the game.
Oh, so they won't even let you.
Yeah, they'll just cut your account off. But it doesn't stop you from just going and making another account.
You know, yeah, that's true. I think Facebook can learn a lot from this.
Yeah.
That seemed like I was pointing at you, and I apologize for nothing.
No.
All right, so, I mean, last time I played video games, there was no interacting with other people. I'm more of like a Nick Psych Bike, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball
old
era.
School.
Yeah, I never got past, I think Nintendo 64 was the last gaming console I played on.
Yeah.
But I know it's a lot more intense now.
Yeah, now you play with like 100 people online. That's, you know.
Sounds terrible.
It's annoying.
Yeah, I don't want human interaction at all.
Especially if you're a gamer, right?
Yeah, you're usually there for the fantasy element.
Yeah.
You know, you're escaping the real world.
Yeah. If you want to see the worst of like the QAnon, like Trumpers and all that, they're in there. That's where they are.
They're playing Call of Duty?
Oh yeah.
Do they discuss the secrets that they're revealing through their own research?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They'll name their character Donald Trump or, you know, their clan name, you know, KKK, whatnot. You know, it's great.
Their clan name.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Very specific.
I love the idea of being Donald Trump in Call of Duty, and then your character just sits to the side and doesn't fight. it's an element I'd like to get out there, and I don't want to lose the right wing followers of the show. In past weeks, I've talked about how beautiful penises are to try and get a lot of the closeted right wing fan base on board, and I don't know that it's working, but I have a feeling eventually the hook will get them.
Yeah.
They'll go for the worm, if you will.
I disagree, though. I don't think penises are beautiful. I think they're horrible. I wish I could get, you know, just never see my own.
I agree 100%. But again, I'm doing this for the fans. I'm trying to build a following.
Man of the
here.
People.
Yeah.
And salt of the earth.
You know, they're just very proud of being a man.
Right.
And so, we had a guest on who mentioned, you know, how weird it is to get dick pics. And I didn't want to scare away, you know, half the country who definitely think the penis is beautiful.
Right, yeah, yeah.
All right, now, being a podcast producer, that's the dream?
The dream is just to be, the host, obviously.
Yeah.
And have a successful show or whatnot. But, yeah, the dream is to follow in that, you know, just be in that world. I want to create shows. I want to create live shows. Obviously, the pandemic put a big halt on all of that. You know, it's still going on now, but everybody's still kind of like fumbling, trying to figure it out. But the goal is that I want to tour the U.S. with that. I mean, I was also in a band for 10 years as a singer, so I missed that element of traveling across the U.S., being on the road and performing in front of people. I don't think I have what it takes to be in a band anymore. I'm turning 40 in a month, and I'm just like, I don't have that energy anymore. But I can definitely sit at a desk and talk, and I have stories. So
I turned 40 in April, and when I get a spot at a comedy show that's like at 11:30, I have to seriously contemplate whether it's going to be worth going to perform.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what? Sleeping sounds pretty awesome too. Hence the drinking coffee at, 8 o'clock at night. Your band, what kind of music are we talking about?
If you can't tell by the way I look, metal.
I'm guessing metal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. there's so many different forms of metal that I don't know about. I watched that. What seemed like a slightly skewered documentary about Woodstock 99.
Mm.
And there was a lot of, white men are the devil.
The devil. And, the Queen's Orchard.
They're like, the problem was there was so much angst amongst the crowd. And it was like, you had Rage Against the Machine and Limp Bizkit and Alanis Morissette. That's going to make them angry. They're like showing people like thrashing, just full-on mosh-pitting during Alanis Morissette. And I'm like, this should have been your sign.
Yeah,
that
something's
things
wrong.
Are going to get crazy later on. All right, so what kind of metal are we talking about here?
It's hard, and I hate saying it because it sounds so pretentious and shit, but it's hard to pick a specific genre. Like, some of the songs sounded like regular rock ballads you can hear on the radio, and then some of them are very techie. There's math involved. You have to know math to know the time signatures. And I'm kind of an idiot. So it was really difficult keeping up with the band because they're all studied and different time. Like, hey, switch it. I'm like, so it was mostly music for other musicians to appreciate.
Okay.
But it was heavy. I used to scream a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did your band have a cool name?
Dissever.
Dissever. I mean, I'm terrified. I don't even know what that means. Is that a word?
It's a
word?
It's the act of severing something.
My God.
And we got it from an Edgar Allan Poe poem, Annabelle Lee. They just saw the word in there and they're like, that's cool.
Look, if you're going for darkness, you go to Poe.
Exactly,
that's the plan.
Exactly, exactly.
He was, in my opinion, he was the first person who went by three names that, never got caught for murdering people. But there's no way that dude didn't.
Obviously did.
He had some pre-dugs, and that's why we didn't hear about it. He didn't have to waste time post-murder, burying bodies. They were ready to go. Always be prepared. That's really the lesson of this murder talk. Car accident where you died.
Yes.
So this is where? Florida?
Florida.
I mean, you have to assume.
Yeah, it was Florida.
All the best car accidents happen in Florida.
Yeah.
What were you driving?
I wasn't even driving. It was my car, but okay. I wasn't driving. So one of my buddies asked me to borrow my car so he could take a girl out on a date.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, man, just drop me off at work. You know, I got to go to work. Just drop me off and we'll, and you take the car and then pick me up later. And we were in a Honda Civic, which is made out of, you know, plastic garbage.
It's basically a tin can.
Right. And we were doing like 60 down the like a main highway. No, it wasn't a highway. It was US 1 in Florida, which is like, it's kind of a highway, but it's still a road for you know, residential areas.
Sure.
So we were going down like 60, and then across from us was a like an Oldsmobile, one of those Titanic cars, you know, and it was like a 70-year-old man driving it. And he just turned left in front of us without stopping. We were going 60, so it was just immediate collision. We hit kind of at an angle because he was turning. So when we hit the front, then the side of the car turned and hit the side of our car and sent us spinning into somebody's yard.
Okay.
I remember very few things. I remember it was really weird. It was kind of like a premonition, you know. I don't necessarily believe in any particular religion, but if there was any divine intervention, it was that. Because I remember right before it hit, I didn't have my seatbelt on. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll put my seatbelt on. And I was sitting next to my girlfriend's cousin at the time, not my wife, but my girlfriend at the time. And I was like, hey, man, put on your seatbelt. He's like, okay, and puts the seatbelt on. And then I was watching him put it on. And the second I look up, the car hit us. I was like, what? You know?
Damn.
And I remember, you know, I my seat ripped off and I smashed into my friend's girlfriend who was in the front seat with him. Like he was driving and she was in the front seat. So my seat ripped off, smashed into her, and then bounced back and hit my head on the rear glass.
Wow.
And I just remember blacking out, then opening my eyes, and the car was spinning, and all I can see is the spinning. I could hear her screaming bloody murder, and then I black out again. And then I do remember one incident, which is like, this is why I believe in superheroes. I believe that they are out there, and or I just, you know, had traumatic head injuries.
Sure. I'm not going to say which one's more likely, but...
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I just remember at one point waking up, I couldn't move my, like, I was trying to move, and I had my collarbone stabbing me right here.
So it broke through.
Yeah, the collarbone was out, and I was trying to look, and I look out the window, and I saw a dude run and rip the door off the car. Like a superhero. I was like, whoa. And I just pour out of the car, wake up, pass out again, and I woke up in the helicopter, two paddles, like, bro, what the fuck? And, you know. The whole procedure, and they're like, calm down, whatever, and, you know, you're in, calm down. Like,
calm down.
What are you talking about? What's happening?
I'm a zombie. I will not calm down.
I remember once we got to the hospital looking at my toe, and I had the tag on my toe, a red tag on my toe, and I asked the doctor, I'm like, what is that? They're like, oh, because we thought you were dead. I'm like, what? They're like, well, you were technically dead for like 3 or 4 minutes. I'm like,
dang.
What? And like, well, we have the paperwork here for you, just, if you can sign, like, it was a police report with my name as a victim of a homicide or like manslaughter or whatever it was.
So you had to sign the paperwork stating that you are not dead.
Yeah.
The bureaucracy in this country.
Now that you're awake, could you sign this, please?
Listen, we already buried you.
Yeah.
we've called your family. They know you're dead.
I remember that was funny, you calling the family. So they were like, we need to call your family. And I was like, look, the only person that's here is my grandmother, and she's very old. So when you call her, be cautious of how you tell her.
Yeah.
And I was there. Like, they just called her right there. Your son or your grandson. Accident. Accident. And that was it. And they hung up. And I was like, well, you just murdered my grandmother. Yeah. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, one of you's dying today.
Yeah.
If you choose to live, then grandma will pay the price. That's the president of the Florida hospital.
Yeah.
Someone will die. Wow. So then what's the recovery like? So obviously you broke your collarbone. Other injuries are you sustaining?
Well, I broke the collarbone. One of the rails from the seat in front had stabbed me through my left ankle. So that was terrible. But that was pretty much it. You know, they kept me in the hospital for a bit because they detected like a thing in my brain when they did the scans. But it went away, and I'm just like, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, no, we don't need to check it out anymore.
Sure, you don't want to keep me here a little bit longer?
No.
Double check. But, yeah, there was that. And, you know, after that, I kind of, you know, when I was under, I do remember seeing a thing. I saw, like, some geometric shapes. So I decided that I wanted to go explore that, figure out what it is. So I took, you know, trips across the country. I went to Peru, tried to find, you know, Machu Picchu, did the whole thing, like try to figure out what it was that I saw. I figured out what it was. It's, you know, some weird sacred geometry is what they call it, Egyptian sacred geometry.
Okay.
And, you know, didn't really solve anything. It was just like once I'm like, oh, okay, well.
You're just like, that's more similar than the nothing I had before to explain it.
And cool. Now I know what to call it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fix anything, you know. But yeah, I mean, it was very, it changed my entire life, obviously.
Yeah.
You know? And I, to this day, driving sucks. I do it, but it's like very, you know.
What happened to the old guy who's driving the Oldsmobile?
He almost died. I know that much.
I mean, he was like 70, so every day he almost died.
Yeah, he survived. We ended up not, I guess I didn't really sue him for anything more than just my car and the hospital
pay your bills. Yeah,
like I don't, you know, I know you didn't do it on purpose. So,
right.
Just pay my bills. And
did we know that though? Was this guy a white by any chance?
Yeah. I am particularly brown, so.
He's an old and a white, and I think, if anything, let's track him down now. Let's go after him.
Yeah. He's definitely dead by now.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is another case of COVID doing the right thing. He took care of that old man. What kind of Oldsmobile? My first car was a Oldsmobile Delta 88 Grand Royale, and that thing could survive a lot of car accidents.
It had zero damage.
Yeah.
So I don't know the model, but I know it had no damage. And my car, I remember going to the junkyard, and the guy was like, "How are you alive?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't."
Yeah. Those things are legit tanks. I remember my brother and I are driving somewhere, and we used to do a thing, we'd call it A-team turns, because the way Mr. T would turn the van in the A-team, he never slowed down. It'd just be like a quick turn. So we were driving, and my brother called out A-team turn, and we turned the car and basically fishtailed out up onto the grass and the sidewalk, went straight through like a no parking sign, and then we were all just like, whoa, fuck. Got out of the car to check and see the damage, and it literally sheared the sign off at the base, not even a scratch on our fender. I was just like, we literally just tore through metal in this thing.
Good American craftsmanship.
Yeah. Solid car that 100% made sure that you would never get laid.
What's funny is that my car, my friend that was driving only broke a toe.
Wow.
And he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Dang.
I was wearing a seatbelt and I died.
Yeah.
So that just shows that Honda, you know, they test dummy their driver's seat, but nothing else.
They don't care about
anybody else in the car. Fuck you.
One thing I did like about the story was he wanted to borrow your car to go on a date, and you were like, cool, you know, drop me off at work, come pick me up later, which is like the ultimate, like, we both know you're not getting pussy tonight. So you can borrow it, but you know you're going to come pick me up later because there's no way this chick is going to fuck you.
Yeah.
And you're going to be busy. So
Also, there wasn't Uber back then.
Yeah. So. I guess that's true. He couldn't find a ride otherwise.
Yeah. You got limited amount of time to bang, so get it going.
Is there anything you want to promote?
Your podcast,
social media?
Real quick, I actually wrote it down because I know I'd forget. But my podcast is the RRBG podcast. I've had our buddy Tony, Cowboy Tony's been on it.
Yeah.
Steve Simone, a lot of, you know, really good comedy store vets.
Nice.
Also, a lot of musicians and pro wrestlers if you're into that. Also, follow us on the Wrestle Fetish Pod with Chris Burns.
Great guy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people.
So follow us there. I'll be co-producing and co-hosting that. I'll be at the Knotfest in the Bank of California Stadium on November 5th, doing some beer stuff, as well as the Decibel Metal and Beer Festival December 10th and 11th at the Belasco Theater. Also, go to Grilla Mall in Alhambra. I have a hamburger that I've designed with the War Master Josh Barnett, UFC heavyweight champion.
Wow. Okay.
His burger goes live October 12th, but that's about it.
I like that there's a specific metal/beer festival.
Yeah.
Did you start this festival, or is it just by coincidence?
It's funny. I did not start it, but they're on their third or fourth, I forget how many years, but I contacted them. I'm like, why am I not a part of this?
Yeah.
My show's the rock and roll beer guy.
Yeah.
They're like, you should be a part of it. So now I'm a part of it. So I'll be there December 10th and 11th.
I was curious what RR BG
rock and roll
for.
Beer
I looked
guy.
At it, I tried to figure it out. I'm like, I'm not smart enough. The rock and roll beer guy.
It used to just be Rock and Roll Beer Guy podcast, and then a lot of people were like, well, I don't drink beer, so I'm not going to be on your show. I'm like, well, it's not, you know, yeah. I'm the rock and roll beer guy, not you.
Yeah. Yeah, the show is about me. You are a guest.
Yeah, so I just shortened it up so people are like, I'm not going to look it up. It doesn't matter what it is.
It initials always seem cooler.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how to come, I guess, Ritz.
R-I-T-T-S. Yeah, Ritz.
Ritz.
The Ritz.
The Ritz. You're watching the Ritz. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on, man. I appreciate
it.
Stick around. You can ask some questions of the next guest too, if you'd like, and then we'll congregate at the end.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Thanks, guys.
Say hi.
Guys, we're back. I just got the professional finger point letting me know that things are rolling, and it feels good to be back. We just left you about 2 minutes ago, and in that time, a lot has happened. First, we got Nick Daniels. Is that correct?
Correct.
Sitting in now, second guest. Very excited to have you. Thanks for being here, Nick.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And first things first, I got to ask, Nick with no C, what's the story, man? Are you Russian?
No. A lot of people ask if I'm Greek or Russian,
yeah.
But my mom just likes different spellings, so.
That was it?
Yeah.
Is your name Nicholas, or is it just Nick?
Nicholas, yeah.
How does Nicholas, no, N-I-K?
N-I-K-O-L-A-U-S.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. That's wild. what was the secret to mom naming you Nick with a K? Is there a specific?
I really don't know. I think she saw it somewhere.
Yeah.
And was like, that's cool, and has nothing to do with where we're from or anything.
Yeah.
So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
The only Nick with a K I've ever met, I'm pretty sure, was Russian Mafia. That's why I asked.
I would have preferred that. I would have been able to keep up with his stories.
That's what I assumed this was the combo, was this was the organized crime episode of Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers, and at the end I would be executed.
Yeah, we're just initiating a gang war right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. That's really what this podcast is hopefully going to be all about, is just setting organized crime against each other.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a modern-day Rudy Giuliani in that sense. So you just moved to L.A. from Georgia.
I did, small town Georgia. Now I'm out here.
What part of Georgia?
I was about an hour north of Atlanta in Canton, Georgia.
Okay. And what made you move to L.A.?
Chasing the awesome entertainment dream.
Okay. You're an actor?
Want to do TV writing.
Okay.
So trying to be a writer. Came out here now because the girl I'm dating has a nice job, so she had to get out here. So
nice.
I just tagged along, sleep on the couch.
Man, I tell you, you guys, thick as thieves.
Yeah.
Following your ladies. And so, wait, you moved to L.A., what, during the pandemic?
Yeah, like only a month ago.
Oh, so you're really fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd only been out here for 2 months back a couple years ago, so.
Okay.
I'm fresh.
You came out here a couple
A couple years ago, yeah. I did an internship out here, and that was my first L.A. experience, which was interesting, but.
Who did you intern for?
Some company that doesn't exist anymore.
Those are the best companies.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the entertainment industry?
Yeah. It was with a woman who wrote and directed movies and some tech guy who wore two watches and wore two glasses. So,
explain he wore two glasses.
He would have both of them like prescription glasses, not like sunglasses glasses. One on and then one on his shirt. And then like a...
This is like an alternative to bifocals like he had?
It might be. I've only seen him wear like one pair
at a time.
It might have just been an accessory, but
it would be a weird accessory.
Yeah, his name was Yuri, though, so he might have been.
His name was what?
Yuri.
Yuri.
So he might have been a crime boss.
This is the Russian mafia that you're pretending you're not a part of.
I guess I was for a couple months.
There's a dude. He was probably 30. He used to live in my building when I lived in Sherman Oaks, and he smoked heroin. And on the rooftop. And so he was Russian but born in America, and his parents were like straight out of the Soviet Union Russian. And they were incredibly racist, but, you know, as a white person, kind of funny.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa, these people are insane racist. But Yuri would always, sometimes he'd see me and he'd be like, hey, you think I could crash at your place? And I'd be like, absolutely not, man. Well, my parents won't let me, you know, stay at my house right now. I go, why? Well, I stole some caviar, and I sold it for drugs. And I'm like, yeah, you're definitely not welcome at my house, Yuri. But yeah, they were an intense group of people. And so this guy, double watch, he said?
Yeah, double watch. One would be like an Apple Watch, and one was more of like a
traditional.
Yeah, fancy looking shit.
Wow. He seems like a huge douche. I hope you're not trying to work for him anymore.
No, no. He wanted me to stay and work for him, and I had the right idea to go back.
To get out of there. You're like, I would rather move back to Georgia.
Yes.
Than continue to work for you. Was he an American? Did he have an accent?
He had an accent. I forget where exactly he was from, but some European country.
Yeah, probably a former Soviet offshoot. It's probably some Georgian loser. If I was from the state of Georgia, I would spend most of my life ridiculing people from the country of Georgia. Just like a battle of the name, winner takes all type of situation.
Right.
All right, and so your girl moved out here because she got a good job. What was she doing?
She's working in animation at Netflix, working on a show. Good. And so
so you're out here. Your dream is to write. What kind of thing you want to write? What's the goal?
Comedies, like comedy TV shows.
What shows do you love?
I like a lot of like FX shows, like What We Do in the Shadows. It's Always Sunny. Just try to do something a little obscure, but
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is a very popular show that I don't understand for the life of me.
Really?
all of the characters on that show I want to hit with a tire iron. And maybe that's the point. And I know we're not supposed to, you know, burn any bridges, but if any of those actors were to be here today, I would have to spit in their faces.
It does get tiring after like 20 seasons.
Yeah, so. I mean, and I should mention, I've seen about 3 minutes of one episode to get to that level of rage where I'm just like, no, no, this is not okay. And I had to cut off my friendship with the person who recommended that I watch it because, you know, you can't count on people if they're going to be knowing me and thinking that I would be into that.
Right.
Again, very popular show. I'm glad people like it. Don't ever bring that shit to me again.
Lesson learned.
What was the What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah.
That's the vampire kind of show.
In Staten Island, whatnot.
Is that where it takes place?
Yeah.
I've never seen that one. I'm not ready to hate it yet.
I mean, I don't know. It's the first time meeting you, but you might like it. I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
How dare you? Interview's over. Anyone who suggests I would like something is the wrong type of person. So growing up, you grew up in Georgia?
I spent technically majority of my life there. I used to live in New Hampshire, and then we moved down to Georgia.
White.
Yeah, very.
Very white up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
When did you move to Georgia?
I'm 23 now. It was like when I was 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so when you moved to Georgia, did people give you a lot of shit for being, you know, a Yank?
A little bit.
They're
you know,
like, oh, look at this guy who believes in equality and bullshit. Get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah, definitely the people with the thicker accents in class were keeping an eye on me.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
What I like about the Southern accent is that, like, I grew up in Kansas, mm-hmm. and I grew up in the suburbs, but we're pretty close to where things get rural.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the kids like I went to high school with had like thick country accents.
Yeah.
And so I always thought it was weird. And people are like, yeah, you don't have that much of an accent. I'd be like, yeah, I grew up 5 minutes from having an accent, I guess. My parents were in the thick of the suburbs.
Yeah.
And then New Hampshire, what's that like?
Quiet.
Yeah.
White. Yeah.
Very white.
But it's pretty. Once you go up north, we're closer to like the border with Massachusetts. But once you get up, it's pretty.
New Hampshire's mountain. They have mountains. Is that...
Yeah, a lot of good mountains.
Okay.
Similar to Georgia, in that there's like a lot of rednecks too. Like my dad's side's all rednecks.
Let's talk about them. A New England redneck is a exciting thought to me.
Yeah.
Do they have that New England accent? Do they sound like
they do?
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, but like almost like. Dirtier in a way, if that's the right word. Like just thicker and more annoying.
A dirtier sounding Good Will Hunting accent. Sign me up. So you said your dad's side of the family is kind of more redneckish.
Yeah, a little more in the country. Post on Facebook a lot. So
what? That's the dead giveaway.
Yeah.
What? These are Trump loving people.
Yeah, I think most of them. I'm not super close with them in general. Yeah. But
well, obviously, you know, you got long hair.
Yes.
So that's a sure sign that you're playing for the wrong team.
it is blonde.
Yeah. Well,
it is. It's sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to darken a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah, it's lazily dyed.
Was it full blonde when you got to L.A.?
No. Oh, okay. No, it's
just getting darker the longer you're here.
His soul dies and the hair goes darker.
Each day I'm here. Each more jacking off homeless guy I see, it gets darker.
I'll tell you right now, my hair was stark white until I started going to visit the jacking off homeless guy every day. I visit him because I think what he does is important.
Yeah.
And that's it reminds people from the rest of America that they don't need to come here. And that's really what I'm trying to push now is I'm spreading a lot of rumors. I want people in the South in general to think that if they come to L.A., they will get gay.
Yeah.
That's how I've been phrasing it. You're going to get gay if you come here.
Yeah. You'll catch it, for sure.
I'm trying to cut down on the people from Texas visiting.
Oh, yeah,
just go to Texas. If you're from another state, just go to Texas. Don't come here. It's a new comedy scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is the capital of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
If you don't know, now you know, you know? all right, and so you want to write? What do you do for fun? What kind of hobbies does a New Hampshireite, New Hampshirean? What's the word for someone from New Hampshire?
New Hampshireite sounds cooler.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's because no one's ever referenced someone from New Hampshire. For
it's a very
reason.
Forgotten state.
I'd just be like, you're a Vermonter.
Yeah.
It's next to Vermont, correct?
Yeah, they're like
nailed
inverted.
It. Third grade geography paid off.
Yeah.
So what do you do for fun? You seem like, and I'm judging you based completely on the long hair here.
Yeah.
Are you a skateboarder? Are you surf? What's your thing?
None of that. I used to be relatively athletic, but then high school, we had some fun with drugs and that kind of sent me on a completely different direction.
Nice. But... What kind of drugs are we talking about here?
Ironically, everybody says weed's the gateway drug, but I started with Oxy, which was fun.
All right, so you went pharmaceutical?
Yes,
That's a younger generation.
Yeah, it is.
Man,
this is. He said he's 23, I think, so.
Makes sense.
They don't even understand.
Yeah.
You don't know what whippets are.
When I was growing up...
I've done a couple of those.
When I was growing up in the 1900s, Oxy was something you used to treat your acne. It was a pad.
Fuck, I wish I was in that time.
And they didn't really come out with good pills until, you know, I was already using recreational drugs like a real man.
Yeah. I was just a little kid. It's okay. We're past that.
How do you start on Oxy? How old were you, first of all? You said you were in high school?
Yeah, I think 16. I know because me and my buddy would do it. We'd drive around. And,
smart.
Yeah, just be sad individuals.
Just be sad?
Yeah. Smoking cigarettes, getting high, driving around in rural
I'm pretty sure that's what you do in most of America.
Yeah.
I remember just even before I ever did drugs when I was in high school, I was pretty straight edge, and we would just drive around with no destination. Yeah. It's just like, we can drive now. I had that sweet Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
You know, you could fit 40 people in the back seat of that thing. And we would just drive around aimlessly. And to get wild, we would stop at 7-Eleven and buy a giant bag of little chocolate donuts. Because we knew how to party. That's really what it was about. And it seemed dumb then, but now looking back as a type 1 diabetic, I'm just like, dude, I got my kicks in. You know what I mean? I was downing 400 carbs of little chocolate donuts. And now I have no idea how I ended up diabetic. It's pretty wild how that ends up.
I mean, they're just like cocaine, though.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. Had I gone with the powdered donut, it would have been even more intense.
You would have had the stash.
Yeah, the mustache.
Which, again, something to think about when you're in Miami, Tony. Always go to the powder. All right, so you go start with Oxy, and you're eating Oxys.
Yep.
And you ever crush them up? You snorting them?
Yeah, we do that. Like, my buddy would pick me up at my house, my mom saying goodbye, and we just literally drive down the road and crush them up and snort them in the center console.
What about uppers? We, Adderall, Ritalin, any of that stuff?
Not so much. You know, I had my Coke trials in college, but like honestly, it was mostly the downers.
I'd watch that show, the Coke trials.
Yeah, that would be. You mentioned on your the bio that you sent in that you've been yelled at by The Rock's stand-ins, stunt doubles.
Yeah, stunt doubles.
So what happened?
So I almost legally died.
Oh, okay.
That'll happen.
Yeah. When you piss off two knockoff Dwaynes. But yeah, I was PAing on a film shooting in Georgia, and I was at a hotel. It was during COVID where people were sequestered to like stay not sick.
Right.
And one of The Rock's stunt doubles had to stay in his hotel room because he was new to the set. And they're like, all right, your first day, you're going to sit outside the hotel and make sure he doesn't leave his room for 12 hours. And so, but the caveat was you can't say what you're doing. He can't know that you're watching him.
Right.
So then there's, you look at me sitting outside by a dumpster for 12 hours.
Yeah.
People start asking questions and he would poke his head out and be like, you here for me? No, I was chilling.
No, man.
Yeah,
I hang out by dumpsters.
Yeah.
Man.
Just looking for shit in here. And there was a second stunt double who didn't have to stay in his room. And he came out and walked right up to me, like inches, and was like, what are you doing out here? I was like, guys, reading. I'm part of the crew. He just stared at me, walked away. And even my boss was driving on a golf cart. And he goes up to her and goes, who's that? And she goes, oh, I don't know.
Dude, such a good boss.
Yeah, she's really looking out for me on my first day.
We used to have a manager here at the Comedy Store named Dean. And he was a great dude, and he absolutely never had your back when you needed him to. And I obviously worked security here for a couple years. They used to do this show on Tuesday called Trippin' on Tuesday, and it was the black night. And on one night I was working security, seating the main room, and they were trying to – they had their own security team. And they were trying to bring in like a 12 or 13 year old who wanted to do stand up comedy. And so he wanted to come watch a show. And so I said, he can't be here. It's 21 and over. And they're like, well, no, he's a comic. He just wants to watch the show. And I said, yeah, he can't be here. And so eventually it got to the point that their security decided that they didn't have to listen to me. And I was 21 or 22 years old at the time. I probably weighed about 115. And, these dudes were probably 6'5", 250. At one point, one of the other Comedy Store employees told this dude, go fuck with the new guy. And so he literally came over, reached his hand out, and I put my hand out, shake his hand, and he just reached under my armpit and literally picked me up and put me against the wall in the back of the Comedy Store. And I was just like, what the shit? His name was Big Shorty. Dude was enormous.
Nice oxymoron.
And yeah. And so these guys are basically telling me that they don't have to listen to me. And if they say it's okay for a 12-year-old to come into the show, then it is, and I should just deal with it. And I'm trying to explain to them, like, you guys work here one night a week. You don't care if we get in trouble for it. If someone comes and checks and there's a 12-year-old here, we could lose our liquor license. Then the very few customers we had at that time are not going to come here. And so it was just like, look, we could all get screwed really bad. While you would lose one night of work, I wouldn't have a place to perform. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like trying to stand my ground and be like, this is the right thing to do. And these guys are just like, fuck this dude. And at one point I look over and I realize that for like 10 minutes of this argument, the manager is just standing over to the side, allowing this argument to go on. And I go, hey, Dean, you want to help me out here? And he goes, bro, 12-year-olds can't come into the showroom. I'm just like, why didn't you say this 15 minutes ago? What are you doing? You were handling it, bro. And I was like, this motherfucker. You know, he's like Pauly Shore's best friend. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, he's not looking for confrontation, obviously, but it would have been nice if he was also looking for me not to have to deal with confrontation. Yeah. And the moment he said something, all the security dudes were just like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry, man, can't come in. I'm just like, I demand authority. They did not respect it. So these dudes are mad at you. And by the way, The Rock has two stunt doubles.
He does, apparently. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, how do you find two guys who can
yeah.
to match up for The Rock? Like, I've seen the clickbait articles where it's like, see these celebrities stunt doubles. And it's like, I think one of them's like The Rock's cousin or something. And he looks a lot like The Rock. He's not quite as big, but big enough that you wouldn't notice if, you know, it's just a quick shot of him getting hit with a board or whatever they're doing. But the fact that there's two of them, I find more than perplexing. Did you have any interaction with them other than... And by the way, The Rock is in this movie?
He is, yeah.
All right, so The Rock's in the movie. Can you tell us what movie it was, or is this top secret?
I mean, it's coming out soon. Probably should have looked at the NDA I probably signed, but I don't know. It'll be on Netflix. It's got three big stars.
Dang.
I almost gave Gal Gadot COVID, so you can process of elimination if you keep up with Netflix movies.
Wait, you almost gave her COVID?
Well, the movie with him and Gal Gadot has been announced, so you can...
Red Notice.
It's been announced.
Okay.
So it'll be fine.
I was there for one day because I got COVID, so it shouldn't be a problem.
You got COVID on set?
So when I got hired, it was so quick, and I went, and then like 12 hours in, my boss came up and was like, I messed up. I forgot to get you tested. Like, you got to go. I was like, okay. And so the next day, I went to a studio in Atlanta to get tested. And they put me at the top of the list, and right after me was Gal Gadot. And so I went and got tested, and I, like, hung around to try to run into her.
Yeah, smart.
But, yeah, to try to be that guy. And
Do you think had you met her that you guys probably would have fallen in love and you'd be super rich right now?
Yeah, I feel like I would be in a much different situation.
Yeah, definitely.
On that Imagine video with her singing John Lennon song.
It probably would have been the two of you guys doing a duet.
Yeah, or I could have talked her out of it, and then it wouldn't have been a problem.
It would have changed everyone's opinion on how ridiculous that whole thing was. It would have been like, you know what, Nick with no C's in it, he's cool. So you get tested. I've had to do a couple of them to be on set for things. How hard are they checking? Are they scraping the brain, or is this like, I did one where they literally just like, barely touched my nose. And they're like, you're good. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, they had me do it for some reason, which is like fine, but like I did it. I got pretty deep up there.
Yeah.
But like I felt fine. So I was like, cool. Like, all right, I'm going to drive down to the hotel after trying to meet Gal Gadot. But they were adamant about getting me off the spot.
You need to go, bro.
Yeah. And as I was driving out the call, I was like, oh, yeah, you have COVID. And so then I had to list off everybody that I interacted with, which included The Rock stunt doubles.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he only has one now.
Because
one of them is a dead duck. I don't know if that's true.
Well, The Rock caught COVID too, so you may have given it to the doubles, which gave it to The Rock.
Yeah, I thought exciting. About that on the way here. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool, honestly.
I mean, he's fine. Look at him. He's a tank.
He'd be fine.
Yeah.
I honestly think if The Rock got COVID... And you said he did get it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that he suffered too much. But I'm also willing to bet that, you know, he really fucked COVID up.
Yeah.
So there's a decent chance that COVID would stop if we just gave all the COVID to The Rock.
It's his next movie.
Yeah. It's Rock versus COVID.
I don't want to step on your time, but, you know, I just wanted to point out, The Rock, if you're watching, I sold you your PS2 a long, long time ago. You owe me a favor.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
The Rock, I gave you COVID.
So yeah.
There you go.
We're talking about two people who have had connections with you.
That's right. You need to be on Talk with Strangers.
Did you, when you got COVID, was it bad, or were you one of the people who just didn't really notice?
I didn't really notice. I think, like, once I found out, I started, like, thinking that I was feeling stuff.
Yeah.
But I just stayed at home and was mostly fine. So I got lucky. I had a buddy who like went to the hospital and stuff. Same one who would do the oxy with me. So maybe he did a little too much. And then
you know what? This guy's starting to sound like bad news.
Yeah.
You know, when he was crushing up oxys and, you know, giving them to you, I thought, you know, decent friend.
Yeah.
But now that I know that he's going to the hospitals with COVID, what a pussy. Everyone knows if you get this thing, no matter how bad it gets, you just don't go to the hospital. It's the number one way that you're going to die, for sure.
It's weird, because anytime we get a little too high, I'd be like, make sure nobody call an ambulance. We're fine.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets a little COVID,
just
got to go to the hospital.
That is a little odd. But I know you're dying right now. We're not taking you to the hospital. Yeah.
Our moms are going to be so pissed, okay?
He survived
COVID? Yeah, he's all good COVID-wise.
Can you take the horse paste?
No, I don't think so, at least. But
which, by the way, we definitely recommend if that's something that'll make you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I hear it's the next sponsor. But
I mean,
it
helped Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And
killed COVID in, what, like 2 hours?
Well, as far as we know, it actually it got rid of the parasites, which is big. My favorite thing about the whole horse deworming medication thing are the people who are adamant about it online, who are like, well, if you look it up and you do some research on your own, you'll see that it is actually used to treat a number of infections. And you're like, and none of them are COVID. But we get it.
It you got a Nobel research. Peace Prize, though.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's always one of the main things. The guy who invented it actually got an award for it. So you're like, just keep taking it then.
Yeah.
I want everyone who's taking it to just keep taking it. Donkey laxatives, that's another one.
I'm
pushing
that one.
That's on the weekend.
It doesn't even have to be a name brand donkey laxative. Any of them are good.
All
treat COVID very well. So you have a job now?
I do freelance stuff. I read scripts and, you know, give
terrible
notes.
Job.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I can.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're definitely allowed to say it fucking sucks.
It does.
We talked to a girl about it last week who does the same kind of thing, but she was actually very positive and was like, I've read a lot of really good ones. I'm like, I don't believe that for a second.
No, I want her job then because I've read awful
ones. I think she was worried about keeping her job.
Yeah, that could be.
My boss is watching.
she worked for Mike Judge. Which is probably a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
But he might get better scripts than other places, I'm guessing.
I'm reading, like, people who submit scripts to festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
And you'll get an occasional, like, decent one, but their majority are awful.
I always found the screenwriting festival or the screenwriting competitions to be hilariously corrupt.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real point to it. It's like, you can win a meeting with a real-life agent.
Yeah,
like,
who's so excited to take time out of their day to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll try and get this out.
Yeah.
And
then,
what's the worst script you've read? What's just the premise of the worst script you've read?
The one most recent I can think of was one about Genghis Khan, and the reason
good already.
Yeah, it sounded good, but then there's about 5 pages of Khan's dad dragging a woman on a horse, and like that's a fine scene, but 5 pages, it gets a little excessive.
It is a bit much.
Yeah,
there's one Irreversible. Have you seen that movie?
I've not.
There's a 9-minute rape sequence.
Oh,
it's like that was unnecessary.
You want it to be almost 10 minutes.
Yeah,
as a
nine
rule.
Is an odd number.
Yeah, make it the even 10.
Yeah, it's a uncomfortable thing. Some of the scripts I read were so bad. Were like, I guess people don't understand maybe the time frame of, like, if you write a 120-page script, that's a 2-hour movie.
Right.
And, like, parts of it, you're just like, this scene has gone on for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just, people write something and they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. Like,
especially people who are submitting to screenwriting festivals or whatever it is.
Yeah. It gets me excited about the average scripts, then I give them way too high scores because I just read 50
of the worst
ones.
Things ever.
Yeah, so.
Do you have things you want to promote? Social media?
I mean, my Twitter is @Nick_Daniels18. No C in the Nick.
No C in the Nick.
Yeah, Nick
Very
without
important.
The C. I post some half-decent funny sort of stuff on there sometimes. A YouTube link's in my bio for like 3 videos I posted. But we'll put some more out if you want to check them out. But
nice.
Yeah, all that's right. It.
Thanks for being on, man.
Thank you so much.
And now... Sarah's going to come in and talk with us for a little bit, ask the questions I forget to ask, and then we'll wrap it up. But we'll be right back. Thanks, guys.
Say hi to everyday people.
Guys, we're back. Before we continue this interview, want to remind you, October 13th,
8:30. I know. 8:30. We're doing a live version of this show in the belly room.
Yeah.
At 8:30. If you would like to be on the show, you fill out a piece of paper. We put your name in a hat, and then we'll be drawing names out of the hat for the live show.
Yeah.
We'll also be giving away some fun stuff. It is the launch of the Comedy Store Records label.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is what the show is to promote and to make all kinds of fun things for. And there'll be lots of fun festivities and some giveaways. So if you'd like to be a part of that show, I've posted a link.
Check it out.
Yeah, Rick will post a link. It'll be on the Comedy Store website. It's in the Belly Room at 8:30 on Wednesday, October 13th.
If you have a friend who's just a huge loser,
buy them
a ticket, bring them out. We will ridicule them to no end. Maybe it's a coworker you don't care for.
No,
the point is,
you will ridicule them.
Well, when I say we, I mean the royal we. Everyone in that room will ridicule them endlessly. I had someone hit me up once, and they're like, hey, I'm bringing someone to your show in La Jolla. I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks for coming down. They're like, yeah, they're the worst person at my work. So I'm hoping that I'm like, okay, just, sit somewhere close to the stage. And I did end up ruining that person as much as possible. I try to, please the people. That's really what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Come check out the show live. It'll be fun.
Well, you didn't ruin our two guests tonight. They're still sitting here and they haven't left.
That's true. they're both intimidating people, though.
Yeah, they are.
Their mob connections run so deep that they pretend they're not connected.
Yeah. And I don't feel like we really even got into Eddie's mob grandfather. And I wanted to know if you have any fun stories or if there's just one example, because I know we don't have a ton of time, but just an example of how you knew he was part of that family.
Oh, I mean, he would take me to business negotiations all the time.
They called it a business.
Yeah, was basically going to collect money and or do some crazy things. I was I was little. I was very young, but at certain times they would put me to work. I mean, I sat. One of the biggest rackets he had was he would hire a bunch of Dominicans to rob pharmacies.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And then they would bring home...
Hold on. Did you see how excited Nick got? Just the thought of Oxy?
So, no, this was
But also, Dominicans, you never know how old they are. So they
true.
Could be 21.
Sexy.
Or 12.
They weren't stealing good drugs. It was I guess they're the actual good drugs. They were stealing, the AIDS medication and...
How are they stealing it?
They would break into pharmacies.
Oh, they would break in after hours.
Shove it into garbage bags, which would then appear at my house. And then my dad and my grandfather would be like, all right, so today you're going to sit here with lighter fluid and douse all these bottles that have prescription labels on them and remove the prescription label, clean the bottle and put it in a box, and then we're going to resell that medication.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And did you keep the name of the person so you could resell them the medication?
No, we wouldn't sell it to the individual person. We would sell it back to the
pharmacy. For a cheaper price. Yeah.
So the reason my dad got caught was hilarious because he decided to open up a storefront.
Yeah, good plan.
Oh.
You want to go legitimate.
Pharmaceutical supplies.
Yeah.
Selling stolen medicine.
Yeah.
And even I, at the age of 12, I'm like, what are you doing?
This is a bad plan.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, no, it'll be fine. They're not going to look into it. I'm like, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're absolutely going to look into it.
And we're secret drug dealers, Dad.
How long did it take for them to figure it out? How long
years.
Did he have the storefront?
Years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, years. It took years. He was right.
He made plenty of money in those
but
years.
But he got caught.
He eventually
everything.
Got caught.
Yeah.
And you did a pretty good job relabeling the bottles then.
Yeah, I did. I did really good at cleaning, it was always part of the family, one of the things they did also was counterfeit money. They would go and make hundreds, and then we would go to the mall and they would hand me a few of them and go buy yourself anything you want and bring us the change.
Right.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, I'm money laundering for you. Awesome.
It's a smart move.
Yeah. Buy some shoes and then just bring the change, we do that. It's just a lot of different things I was involved in against my knowledge and will. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, you're a kid, and you trust your
grandfather, trust
your dad.
Right? Isn't that what you do as a child? Yeah. I guess dad knows what's up. Growing up, that I mentioned that I'd been to jail. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better. I thought this is what life was like. So when I became, 14, 15, 16, I'm growing up, I'm like, I got to do business.
Yeah.
And so I did, and eventually I got caught, because, passed on the incredible intellect of my father.
How old were you when you went to jail?
This was, I don't even remember anymore. It was it was like 2001.
Okay.
2001, around there.
So you're in your early 20s.
Early 20s, yeah. And I had like a whole racket going on. I was a store manager at a retail shop, and it was in a strip mall, and I had like, it was, I felt like the godfather. Like all the other stores would show up like, hey, we brought you gifts. Like the cell phone shop would bring me brand new cell phones, and then I would do deals with them. Like, oh yeah, go ahead and take whatever you want from the store. It's fine. No big deal. And like, I'm in charge of the inventory because I'm the manager. So I'll just, you know, fudge the numbers and it'll be fine. Eventually they sent secret shoppers. I let someone in on the business and they fucked up. Mm. And then, you know, they sent secret shoppers and I got caught and, you know, it was, I didn't do a lot of time.
Was that in Miami or was that?
That was Miami, of course.
I don't know.
Sarah, if you go into jail, you're doing it in Miami. Everyone knows that.
Of course.
But it's better to be in a jail in Miami or New Jersey. Is there a preference? Because I know there's a better, that you'd rather be in jail in New Hampshire than Georgia.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Miami jail sucks. I've never been in jail in Miami, in New Jersey, but I would assume it's better than Miami.
Really?
What is it that's bad about jail in Miami specifically?
Miami's, like I said, there's no laws. So if you're in jail, you're really bad. Like you murdered.
Right, you fucked up very badly.
Yeah, very badly. So when I was there, I was in a room with like six or seven other guys. And, you know, one of the guys I talked to wasn't wearing shoes, just wearing pants. And I'm like, what's up? He was like, I was like, just nothing, man. I don't know what's going on. You know, I just had a party, you know, and cops showed up and took me away. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
Sure.
That's it.
I'm
that's
sure
it.
That's not all of the whole story. But,
just
okay.
Partying without shoes. Is that a crime?
Later, I found out, you know, he was having a party and there was kids there and they were doing drugs and sex stuff and whatever. And I'm like, that's not me.
You were there.
He was there. He was giving the kids COVID.
Yeah. Nick, have you ever been to jail?
No. Small enough town to hide around stupid petty crimes, but...
No, I definitely know Canton because I'm from Calhoun, Georgia.
Oh,
which
whoa.
Is like,
awesome.
When you were like an hour north of Atlanta, I'm like, is this guy from my hometown? And I don't even know.
That's so cool.
I mean, I'm old enough to be your mother, so I definitely.
Are you guys like rival towns?
No, we're not close enough for that. Yeah. He's from Canton. And we're probably like 30 to 45 minutes okay. apart.
So.
Yeah, so I'm about an hour and a half north of Atlanta.
Same kind of racist or...
See, Canton was a weird racist of, like, see, my girlfriend's black, and so okay. when I'd bring her into town, like, you know, you'd go to a local shop, and you'd find an antique that looked, you know, a little
sure.
risque.
A little suspect.
But, like, that was it. But at night, like, that's when you gotta watch out. Like, we got sheriffs who are in the Klan and whatnot, so.
Yeah,
I feel like in the South, like, you always knew because they would be waving a flag
yeah.
or, like, saying it publicly
very
and
proud.
On, like, a shirt.
Yeah.
But,
flaming
like,
torches
when I would
coming your way.
Go up north, when I finally started, like, traveling more as an adult, I'd be like, oh, it's just understood here in Boston that, like, white people go in this bar and black people go in this bar.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it was so confusing to me. And like, but
well,
I
Boston,
also...
Boston specifically though, that, I mean, that's
oh,
like
yeah.
the educated racist capital of the world.
Educated. What
meaning like in the South, a lot of the racists are just, you know, uneducated, local, rural, dumb mm-hmm. racists. But in Boston, a lot of them go to college. And you're like, yeah, they're educated people. And then you're like, oh, they're still just pieces of shit. But their parents could afford to send them to Emerson, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Specifically, people from Emerson are trash human beings.
Okay.
I think we should put that out there. I think it's very important everyone understands where I stand on this.
Yeah, I don't feel like I had a lot of experience. I mean... My mom was like the only white person on her softball team growing up. So like, I just feel like I was like half raised by all these black women at the softball mm-hmm. fields all the time.
Yeah.
So like, and I didn't really understand that you weren't allowed to make fun of black people until I started doing comedy because I like not allowed to make fun of them. Like though, like it's not like I was ever calling names or anything like that. Like
yeah.
I would never do anything like that.
Nice cover up.
Because we moved to Georgia from California when I was little, and I got called a Yankee my whole life. And I was like, but California wasn't in the war. And
yeah.
I'm like,
right.
And why am I calling it the war? You know, like, but
you mean the war to defend the freedom of states in the South, states' rights,
our heritage.
Yeah.
One about
it's about
it's
tradition.
About states rights. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
So I was always an outsider looking in, so I felt like I was pretty aware of like when things were really shady, and I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that had to do with like the women that my mother hung out with. So,
sure.
But I don't really remember what my point was.
Racism.
I lost.
As the only brown guy in the room, I'm going to say. Racism. Conversation we were having.
Yeah.
I guess what I want to ask you, Nick, was why did your parents choose Georgia? Were they together at the time? Is that...
Yeah. It was mostly just my dad's work.
Uh-huh.
He used to work from home. And so then they were like, oh, you got to be in office. And there's only an office in New Mexico or Georgia. So we went with Georgia so we can... not see desert.
They're like, we've
Nazi.
Already lived in New Hampshire. We're not going to another
we
new
doing,
place.
Yep. the next state we move to is going to be its own original state.
13 colonies.
New Mexico, fantastic state.
Is it?
There's no one there for the most part. There's a lot of people in Albuquerque. It's terrible there.
It's not Mexico in the name, so
yeah.
I got to stay clear of that.
You'd think.
If you're looking for turquoise jewelry,
this is the spot.
The
this is the spot. They have a lot of it. Yeah, I lived in Santa Fe for like 6 months, my first semester of college, and it's a very weird place in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone is super relaxed. It takes forever to get anything done. To this day, I've still never been anywhere where the people just take their fucking time with anything. We're just like, you go and you order food, and there's no one in line in front of you. I'm like, oh, this will be quick. And then they'll take 40 minutes to, like, cook you a burger because they're relaxed, man.
It's
you know?
Like Hawaii. Yeah. You're like, they're like, we're just not going to open today. Yeah. And you're like, but I Yelped this place and drove here in a rental car that I paid a lot of.
I find that's been happening here in LA with certain, like, there's a sushi place across from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to order sushi. They let me order on the website.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I'm like, my food hasn't arrived. It's been like 2 hours. I walk over to the sushi place and it's closed.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I call, I'm like, what the fuck? They're like, yeah, we just didn't want to open today, COVID. I'm like, what?
Yeah, the Mexican place across from where I live does it all the time, too, where it's like, it says that it's open until, I think it's open until 10, allegedly. Mm. So like, I've called it like 7:15, and it just rings. I'm like, I don't know, I guess I'll run across the street. And I go over there, I'm like, they're closed? Just close when you want.
Yep.
Did you ever play a gig, Eddie, in New Mexico?
Not New Mexico.
Heavy metal?
I did a few gigs in Texas, which were very fun.
Dissever. Yeah.
The Severn in Texas. North Carolina was a lot of fun. We played a show, and then I heard that David Allan Coe was playing a show, mm-hmm. which was super
Another
famously racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was incredibly racist.
Famously
country
racist.
Singer.
But, you know, I was like, so there is a part of Florida where my band is from that is way south, right before the Keys, called Homestead, which is filled with rednecks. It's great.
Okay.
So I have a lot of that in me of like the, you know, Southern twang and
sure.
But you know, I David Allan Coe, I respected because of the Dimebag Darrell, Pantera. He had the guitars, you know, and later I found out how racist he actually was. So I showed up to the show cause I'm like, I'm going to go check it out. And like, it was like one of those things out of a movie where the record just,
yeah.
As soon as I walked in, everybody turned and looked at me like,
we're not sure what he is, but he ain't one of us.
I'm shaved though. I'm bald, skinhead.
Yeah.
No, does it work?
Yeah.
Because country music was like made from outlaws and stuff like that. That's why like Jezco White was always like this mystery to me because his whole thing was that he was a outlaw tap dancer, and I'm like, this guy became like the centerpiece of all these songs, and all he did, he basically, they were like, he invented his own kind of tap dancing. I'm like, yeah, because this guy didn't have any connection with the outside world. Of course he just made up a tap dance.
Yep.
And how did he get tap shoes in like the middle of the West Virginia mountains? Like, I have no idea. Did you ever watch that movie The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
I started watching it. I saw 15 minutes.
And again, you and your 15 minutes of like getting into a show.
Listen, I watched something just long enough to not like it, and then I'm like, now I'm justified
in my
hatred.
Talking about people that love snorting oxy.
Yeah.
I mean, the best thing about the Whites,
just lights
white
up.
Plan,
think about it.
Just lights up.
Johnny Knoxville like produced it, and it's fascinating because these people literally snort pills and like kill each other but they never rat on anybody. Mm. I ain't no snitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Snitches get stitches.
They get, like, there's one episode where this woman's baby gets taken away at the hospital because they found, they like tested it for drugs and it was positive.
Yeah.
And so they stop at Taco Bell on the way to the court from the hospital. And the woman, the mother of this woman, is like ordering food from the Taco Bell drive-thru. She's like, I'll have a quesadilla. And they're like, we don't have quesadillas. Yes, you do. And they're like, it's not on the menu. Like, she just can't read the menu. So she's just ordering what she thinks she should order. And then they finally get through the order. And then she sees a friend of hers through the window of the Taco Bell. And she's like, hey, Mary, how are you? We're going to the court. Yep, they took her baby. Yeah, they found drugs in it. And she's screaming it through the window. And like, the movie is so redeeming because they literally will fuck anybody over, but they're so committed to one another as a family that you're like, oh, they have redeeming qualities.
Loyalty is really an endearing quality.
Yes, it really is.
Even to go back to the tap shoes, I would assume that they had horses. And they probably saw the horse shoes, and they were like, I want to make noise like that.
Yep. Yeah, that horse can tap. I can do it.
I can do it, too.
I don't trust.
I want to be able to dance with my lover, the horse.
You got to really wonder about some of the horse fucking that goes on out in West Virginia. Slash tap dancing lessons.
Yeah. Mountain Mama. Did you have any resolution with the stunt doubles with The Rock? Like, how did that story end? Because we got to you getting yelled at by them, and then your
wasn't the resolution you gave them COVID?
Your boss allegedly didn't bail you out.
Allegedly.
Your boss didn't bail you out.
Boss didn't bail me out, but like, it's somewhat anticlimactic because like, he kept poking his head out and yelling stuff at me, and like, when you're 6'6" and you're 300 pounds, it's hard to tell if you're sarcastic or not. Or
you just assume the worst.
Yeah. Defense mechanisms. And I just kind of took it, sat by that dumpster for hours, and then I got kicked off for not being tested, and then really got kicked off for...
Oh, so that was your last day of work?
You worked one day.
One day. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to get all this money. I'm going to be able to put a down payment on
the
car.
The Rock's going to see me. And he's going to put me in the next movie.
Fall in love with Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry Gal Gadot.
I'm going to be able to write a script. If you're just doing like security or PA work on a set and you're just like babysitting, you're like, I can write a script.
Easy.
I was doing some like little writing there, trying to pass some time.
Yeah.
You know, but I kept getting interrupted by The Rock stunt double.
So, in theory, the stunt double who's being quarantined leaves his room. What are you supposed to do?
That's a very good point.
I mean,
I asked that about five times, and they're like, just let somebody know, text somebody.
Yeah, you just radio someone, be like, the guy I can't stop is leaving.
The brick wall is on the run. Like, so I thought one time he left his room. And so I texted somebody, and somebody was sprinting down to check, and it ended up not being him. Like, well, what am I supposed to do, like, if he does come out? It's like, just do the same thing, you know? Like, we'll talk to him.
I love that you got confused. You're like, is that him? Like, there's so many dudes the Rock size walking around that you're like, I'm pretty sure that was the guy.
In
hindsight, it looked nothing like him where the guy left his room.
Even better. It was either him.
Creating jobs. Right? Because that wasn't a job before. He's in quarantine. They'll let him leave his room.
Yeah.
Now that's a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. They're doing all the right things.
Yeah.
So Nick almost died on the set of a movie, and you almost died in a car.
No, I died.
He died.
But
that's the difference.
Did they tell you how you died?
From a car accident.
No, but you said
was it
you.
The collarbone? Was it the?
Yeah, like
it was
what
the,
was it?
It was the head.
The
when
head
I
injury.
Smashed back into the rear window. That's pretty much where I went out.
But how many people were in the car?
Four of us.
Four of us. So you and your girlfriend were in the back?
No. It was me and my girlfriend's cousin.
Cousin.
He was going to work with me because he was going to hang out at the mall.
Oh, you worked at the mall.
I worked at the mall.
Fancy.
This is the same mall where I was.
Oh. Where you was the godfather. Yep.
But
so
know,
it could have been a
talk
hit.
About it too much.
Yep.
Could have been a hit the whole time.
That old man was trying to.
What we didn't bring up was my buddy's girlfriend, who he was going on a date with. Since my seat ripped off, I smashed into her.
Yeah.
And she broke her thigh bone because her leg, you know, smashed into it. Was in a wheelchair for like 6 months afterwards.
God.
So he did not get laid.
No.
Yeah.
But you made
smashed.
Sure of it.
Yeah.
I made sure that he did not get laid.
He smashed her. You're right about that.
I smashed.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, but
got up in them guts because the guts were spilled all over the car. Inappropriate? Good.
No. I loved reminisce. I had also had an Oldsmobile. It was my first car. But
nice.
It was a Cutlass.
Woo, baller. That's yeah. some baller shit right
Tank
there.
Deck and everything. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but that would have been like a 92 Cutlass or something.
See, I always felt special because I had a 1988 Delta 88, and I was like, this thing was just meant to be. Uh-huh. And I don't even think I ever went on a single date. I was so squirrely, and I just hadn't honed my incredible, lady killer skills yet at that point. So for some reason, serious acne and running cross country just didn't get me laid like I thought it would. So weird.
There's a question for you then.
Yeah.
So when did you officially lose your virginity? What age?
I was in college. I was 19.
Okay.
So I was a late bloomer.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. You, mafia guy, were you
I was,
young?
Seven and a half. She was 43 and down.
Let's go back to that jail story and see how it came out.
So my dad's so awesome, such an awesome human that, at the age of 13, he took me to Cuba because he wanted me to see my home country.
Sure.
And paid a prostitute to make me a man.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. What a wingman.
So I lost my virginity to a prostitute, a 18-year-old prostitute. She was older, but still, whatever.
That's what's known as the Cuban bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
He took me to the beach. He was like, just which one do you like the most? I'm like, I don't know, the one with the red hair.
Nice. Redheaded Cuban. Great band name.
I hope you write a script about that, Nick.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer if you don't.
No. I was hoping I could beat you on one thing, but it's 15.
Huh? Dang.
No prostitutes.
Dang. Oh. So
no family, even though you were.
Yeah, it wasn't your cousin.
Wasn't
right
your cousin.
No, thankfully. No, yeah. It was the girl I was dating at the time. And it was very awkward, and weird. But,
yeah.
But she lasted like a solid hour, right? It was a really great sexual experience. the real secret of the oxy addiction, yeah. The boner that never dies because you can't feel a goddamn thing. So
Nick,
weird.
I don't want you to feel that you have to beat me.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost 40. You're 23. You got plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't even died yet, Nick. Yeah. So let's not act like you're competing, dude.
Yeah, just don't hang out at the Comedy Store too long.
Yeah. We'll kill you easily around here.
I'm telling you. This was very fun.
Yeah.
Wait, no, you're not getting off the hook that easily.
Oh, no, a lady never tells.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Sarah's still a virgin.
Yeah, okay. I just had a baby, but...
It's a Jesus scenario.
It's a Jesus baby.
Mm-hmm. No, lady never tells.
That's the southern part of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. You know, I think concluding with how old were you when you first started fucking... is always the way to end a show. So
I think we're gonna have to do this every episode.
Yeah, this is. How old were you when you first had a terrible sexual experience? It's a whole another podcast. Thanks for listening. Tune in, and is that what you say? Podcast.
No,
tune
nobody
in?
Says tune in.
Tune in. Next
no,
week.
If you want to be a guest, DM us on Instagram or Twitter at IngramPod, Ingram with an H, and like Laura, but with less of a bitchy attitude and
just more a more masculine bitchy attitude.
Yeah.
Me and Laura could go neck and neck in terms of the stupid shit we say.
Yes. And if you want to come to our live show, we'll see you on October 13th.
Yep.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Eddie, for being
yeah,
on the show.
Thanks for being here, guys.
We'll see y'all next time.
All right.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM IngramPod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.